I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome to Audibly Exquisite episode 71. I'm Mike Norn with
Peter Melnick.
And Pete Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
Well, good folks, what we are all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And we are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com and you'll find a wide variety of programs on their fine network to listen to. Now, Mike, before we get into how people can find us on social media, well, let's just get into that. Facebook.com/AudiblyExquisite. Follow us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, at Peter Melnick.
And at Mike underscore Norn.
Find us on Instagram at
AudiblyExquisite.
Find us on the worldwide interwebs at
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
And you can listen to the show on a wide variety of platforms. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, TuneIn. Let's see, I think that's really it, but there's other podcasting apps out there. Just type in our fine name, and you'll
Audibly
find us.
Audibly Exquisite.
Rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. Spread the word like Nutella. Share it on Facebook. Let people know you're listening to this fine program. And Mike, how can people support this show? Why, I'm glad I asked, Mike. If you go to www.patreon.com/audibly exquisite. Wow, slash Facebook. No, they don't need the support.
No.
And I keep pronouncing it wrong. It's Patreon. PATREON.com. You're going to help support the show. You donate a couple bucks your way. You can go as low as $2 a month to $50 or more, I believe. I don't know how that pay structure works.
You can give us $1,000 if you want.
Exactly. But basically what Patreon does is this. You end up doing, you know, you donate money, and we return something in, we give something back in return. There we go. Like, for example, $2, you end up getting a Audibly Exquisite newsletter emailed to you every month. Then there is, for $10, you get an Audibly Exquisite episode of your choosing. I want to say it's either 10 or 25. It's one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in, we will email you an exclusive episode just for yours. Your ears only.
The topics, we talk about them.
For your ears only, Mike. I mean, come on, really? You're not going to go with the James Bond reference?
I got it.
Yeah. Anyway, and for $50, you get the rewards mentioned prior, but also you get to guest host on this here fine program every other month.
And at the end of the month, we take the five people who donated $50... And a random drawing, we'll get a special t-shirt from Audibly Exquisite.
You know what? I'm down with that idea. That's actually a really smart idea.
Custom designed, unlike any shirt we have or anybody else has.
Absolutely.
You don't get to choose what it is. We just pick one, send it to you.
We pick the colors. We pick the, you know, yes. Whatever. And I'm good with color schemes, so believe me.
You get electric pink.
Damn right. Hey, electric pink is a nice color.
It is.
Just saying. So now, Mike, a lot of stuff's happened in the last 2 weeks. What do you think about this stuff?
Joe Manganiello playing Deathstroke?
Joe Marinara is cast as Deathstroke. Joe Manganiello.
DC's got another one.
They got another one. Another one. No. But yeah, I mean, I like the guy's look. He definitely fits what Deathstroke would look like in a movie. I mean, a lot of people are complaining, what about Manu Bennett? You're just shitting on the TV universe. Doesn't matter, you know? Honestly.
That's your Josh Rosengrant impression voice.
No. But anyway, I mean, I like the idea of seeing this stuff, you know, it's hard to describe, but as long as Manganiello does a good job, I don't give a shit.
I think he's doing a good job. He's good with that stuff.
There are people, like, who would you have cast in this role other than him or Manu Bennett?
I don't know. Nobody else, really.
I liked him on Arrow, but to be completely honest, I would not have cast Manu Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, he was great on Arrow, but let's keep him for Arrow.
Exactly.
And I mean, they ended up, you know, a few weeks back, we saw that video footage from Ben Affleck.
And that was Joe underneath the helmet, apparently.
I dug it. You know, I'm still apprehensive about the movie because, you know, what if it sucks? What if it sucks?
Always that what if. 50-50% chance it's going to be good.
What do you think is going to happen with the overall aspect of Batman in the film? Like, do you think I know he's trying to be the whole, you know, recruiter guy of, you know, the whole team.
Maybe he goes to Deathstroke and tries to recruit Deathstroke, maybe.
Could you see that happening?
Yeah, because Batman kills in that universe, so he doesn't have a problem with killing.
Oh, yeah, you got a point, but...
Imagine if Deathstroke's in the Justice League and not a villain?
I can't see that, but, like, it could work. For crying out loud, we have a Deathstroke comic book every month.
Yeah.
So, if they do it, fine, but...
People lose their minds, though.
They lose their minds over the stupid...
Well, they're losing their minds over Batman goggles right now.
They're losing their minds over the fact that Mary Jane, a character whose character was not defined by her race, is a different race. And those people, they kind of are pathetic. Boom. You know, I don't get it.
Well, good thing Mary Jane's not wearing goggles.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the look. You know, Zack Snyder like posted it up on Twitter. I dug the look.
It's goggles. Who knows? And there was sparks around. Maybe he's welding something or... He needed goggles for some reason.
Maybe he's in that that welding factory that was in The Simpsons when, you know...
All the guys start dancing?
Yeah, everybody dance now. You know, you never know. It might happen.
People get pissed over an image.
Would you...
I'm going to laugh at just a clip where Batman puts some goggles on real quick and welds something and takes it right back off, and it's like a 10-second clip.
Well, now, I want to know, Mike, do you think a Batman movie could work with CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now?
Absolutely.
I mean, I would laugh. I would, you know, get a kick out of it. And I think you have to give these things an opportunity. Everybody has to dance now. Bump, 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 bump.
No.
Bump, 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 bump.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that people are hemming and hawing over this is fucking ludicrous. And what was one of the things that you brought up? What people are comparing the goggles
to? Oh, Night Owl's goggles.
Night Owl from the, you know, comic book Watchmen.
They're ripping off Night Owl. I say, actually, no.
And if anything...
Night Owl's kind of like Batman, basically.
Well, no, Night Owl is supposed to be, what's his name, Blue Beetle.
/ Batman, kind of.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, if we're going with, like, the literal sense of it, mm-hmm. He's supposed to be Blue Beetle, yeah. The whole story. But, I mean, I don't know. I like how the costume looks. It's pretty much the same fucking thing from the movie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have that much of a good look at it, but...
It's just Batman with goggles.
It's like... You know what it reminds me of to a small degree? You know when we were kids, and even to this fucking point now, they still do this. Go buy a Batman action figure.
Oh, yeah, and there's like Sky Trooper Batman.
Arctic Batman, Pumpkin Spice Batman. We have, you know, Electric Batman. I don't get it.
Batman the Brave and the Bold animated series made fun of that.
Oh, yeah. And the fucking wrestling promotion Chikara made fun of it. I mean, you know, it's stupid. And my problem with that is you're making all these things. Yes, I get it to sell toys. But you know what would make you sell more toys? Actually having the things based on the actual thing.
I agree.
And I know I just said actual toys, but sorry, you know? I don't get it. You know, like, I just don't get it.
You know what? Who else wears goggles? Booster Gold.
You know who else does?
Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's.
Go fuck yourself. But, I mean, I just don't get it.
Do you think people can handle a Booster Gold movie?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, if you...
It's not going to be for your average person, though. There's going to be people like, who's Booster Gold?
Who's the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Exactly.
So
hope anybody who's been attached to any Warner Brother project so far, I hope they're far away from this Booster Gold.
I know Grunwald is, I believe, or not Grunwald, Grunberg, the one who was involved with Green Lantern, but he wasn't involved at all, apparently.
Right.
But he's been involved, you know, in the DC television stuff, so he's been mainly involved with The Flash, and Flash has been fucking phenomenal.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Booster Gold TV series.
Well, there was supposed to be one.
Yeah, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, right?
Booster Gold was supposed to have a show, I believe, on Sci-Fi, and it just never came to fruition.
Why would that Krypton show? Is that still in the works?
Krypton is still in the works. I know there's been other like mini updates over the past few weeks about it. To be completely honest, I really don't care about it, and that's coming as a big Superman fan. I just don't care. I guess like it might be a little bit of a...
Because It's sad to say. At one point, I was more than excited for Batman vs. Superman. I was counting down the days.
Dude, same here.
Holy crap, we're talking about it again.
Yeah. Well, but, look at our list later in the show.
It was just such a letdown. You're just like, wow, I waited all this time for that.
You know what was a big letdown? I don't know. I just wanted to try and make a joke. I couldn't improv on the fly.
I was like, what?
But, no, so, I mean, they're saying right now, though, that Booster Gold may not be a part of the DC extended cinematic splendiferous universe, but I don't...
Its own thing?
I don't mind. I really don't mind.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe, you know, we haven't really heard a lot about it. Mm. Maybe it's an animated movie.
That'd be cool.
I'd be down with an animated movie because then you could, you know, easily... He's a character representing the future as all this other stuff. Make it an animated film.
Well, but, he did kind of make a cameo in Man of Steel.
Did he?
Plays comics.
I gotta watch that again.
You saw Blaze Comics and Man of Steel.
That's funny.
Speaking of Man of Steel.
Yeah, Man of Steel, you know, too. Right now, they're saying it's in development, but, you know, Henry Cavill's management actually went on record saying, currently, Henry is going to be working on Man of Steel, too, blah, 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 blah. So that film is going to finally happen, and, it defeats what everyone was saying of Batman v Superman was the sequel.
Someone I was reading thing that with this Flash movie, they're going to take advantage of the multiverse thing,
right?
And fix what got messed up,
right?
Which I don't know.
I mean, I like what they're doing.
They're going to Days of Future Past, apparently.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think they're going to take what they don't like and just trim this one here, get rid of that, add this.
Now, if you were in charge of this, who would you have change as a result of this, and who would you have stay relatively the same? Because you look at these movies, Wolverine, you know, with the X-Men films, Wolverine is still kind of the same.
Yeah. I would change Superman.
Would you go with a different actor?
No, I would keep him, but I would make him more of a kind of corny Superman. Not like my father died in a tornado.
You mean more of a personable Superman.
Like an annoying, hey, chum.
Someone, you know, who's actually a person.
Yeah, someone who, because like Superman in the Justice League show is just like obnoxiously nice and annoying all the time.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the antithesis of what Batman is.
He could be playing chess against somebody and easily cheat, but doesn't.
Dude, that's why I do a Batman podcast, yet I will be honest when I say this. I kind of preferred Superman, just a hair more, Superman the Animated Series.
They said that Superman could beat the Flash in a race, but he just chooses not to. There was a time, I can't remember what it was, I read that Superman and Flash were racing. Superman could have beaten Flash, but he chose not to because, you know,
right,
he didn't want to take that away from Barry.
I mean, that's what you want to have for that character. He's a good-hearted human being.
Fucking Henry Cavill been like,
Well, I mean, it's not like...
In the middle of a race, you'd have flashbacks of his father talking about stupid fucking hero cake and lose the race.
Well, this is the thing about the film that I've noticed.
His
character is based upon the ideals and values of his, you know, Pa Kent.
Pa Kent needs some antidepressants.
This is where, you know, I kind of understand where he was going, you know, Snyder.
I like Pa Kent having a heart attack. Granted, he probably did have a heart issue when that tornado was ripping him limb from limb and mutilating him.
It happens to the best of us, you know?
But I like my Pa Kent having a heart attack on the farm. That's what made Superman more real is he couldn't stop the heart attack in the older movies.
Compared to everything else.
He could do to stop the heart attack.
But he could go backwards in time, you know? We got to go, you know, if we're going...
But in reality, that would have ripped the fucking Earth apart and destroyed gravity as we know it. Anyway...
I don't want
to be the Neil deGrasse Tyson of this podcast.
Are we talking about the Sandra Bullock movie with George Clooney? Gravity? Oh, that movie was really, really not that great. It was a gorgeous-looking movie. Overrated as fuck.
What's the movie about? Two people get strapped outside of a space station and fall.
And the worst part is this.
You're like, whoa.
You can make that into a cool film.
That sounds like Open Water, but in space.
You can make that into a cool film. But the way it was executed was just so dry.
And predictable?
Yeah. I mean, like...
Like Open Water?
Well, look, you know, like, for example, Sully right now, where, you know, the bad guy literally birds. You know? So, we live in an interesting age of film.
I will
say that. And I mean, by the way, recently, you know, going back to the Batman v Superman stuff, because we have to talk about this.
An interesting person had something to say, Batman.
Audibly exquisite. Dawn of Vengeance.
Yes.
Because we're going to call it that now. Not Dawn of Justice, Dawn of Vengeance.
Are we talking about Mel Gibson now?
Yeah.
Racist ass Melly Gibson.
Mel Gibson gave his thoughts on Batman v Superman.
And people got mad because he gave his thoughts. He's a racist. He shouldn't be able to talk.
He said Batman v Superman was a piece of shit. Verbatim.
Well, you know I agree with some of his beliefs. I don't agree with his racist aspects in life, but I do agree with his vision on Batman v Superman.
I feel like I'm not going to go into my thoughts of Batman v Superman because we've been over it
a thousand times.
But I mean,
actually, 70 times probably. We talked about this 70 times together.
He has every right to be able to do so.
Exactly.
You know, discuss this. And, you know, he's a filmmaker. And then when I hear these people say, oh, he has no right. He has no right to say that. Yeah, he actually does, because he's somebody in the not just a filmmaker, but somebody in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Because regardless of anything, you can still have an opinion on this stuff. Yes.
I see in 5 years Mel Gibson makes a return. He does his big heartfelt apology, I found the light kind of thing. Then he makes a Sundance Film Festival movie.
In the interest of fairness, he's
like Mickey Rourke.
He's more concerned with, you know, making his own movies,
yeah,
his own vision. So it's whatever. And the funniest part is this. Say what you will about him, you know, Mel Gibson the person, but his movies that he's directed have been incredible looking.
Yeah, and the one he's been in.
You know,
imagine if he did a superhero movie.
Well, the thing is this, you know, what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. has been wanting Iron Man 4 to get off the ground and have it be directed by Mel.
Wow. I don't think Fox or Marvel would ever let that happen.
I'd love to see it happen because
Marvel Studios wouldn't do that, though. They gave Robert Downey Jr. a second chance.
The funniest thing is that somebody pointed out on Reddit, but his return. You know what his return was to film, right?
Expendables?
Before Iron Man? No, I'm talking about
Robert.
RDJ.
What?
The Shaggy Dog, where he played a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Second banana to Tim Allen in that film. And 2 years later, what was he doing?
Career
resurgence.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And it's cool because it was a well-deserved resurgence for his career.
And it made him.
So if that happened, do you think you could see Mel Gibson back in the limelight again?
We got to call him racist-ass Melly Gibson like they do on Key and Peele.
But
no, I can see him redeeming himself. But the thing is, I don't know if Marvel Studios would want him attached because they saw the hate he got for making comments already.
I mean, you look
if they put him on an Iron Man movie, it's a gamble.
Would you want to see him involved not as a director or a writer or anything, but as a character in an Iron Man movie?
I don't care.
I'd be fine with it, but I wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. It's not like that big of a deal personally.
Imagine if they made him like a human rights activist. Like this really anti-hate kind of guy, like a peace, love, and joy kind of guy.
Oh, God.
Or a rabbi.
You know what I want to see?
Make him a rabbi.
I want to see him still do another Lethal Weapon.
Yeah?
And it'll never... The worst part is it will never happen.
Danny Glover's still alive, right?
Yes, he is.
All right.
So, but they're doing a Lethal Weapon TV show instead.
Ugh. They did a Rush Hour TV show also, and I think they're doing a Bad Boy show.
I think I've heard of that one.
What's with, like, the cop dramas throughout the generations?
It's all pretty awful.
Next, they're going to Starsky and Hutch. And they're going to do, like, a team-up kind of thing.
Well, they're going to make a TV show of a movie of a TV show, then. Because Starsky and Hutch was a 1970s TV show.
Yeah, I know.
So.
And Chips. Bring Chip back.
I mean, the funniest thing is this. You look at, like, some of these brands they, revitalized. Look at
Rush Hour.
21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
21 Jump Street was a joke of a series in a lot of ways. It wasn't that great. It was, you know, yeah, it was the starting point for Johnny Depp, but no one cared.
Yeah, no one thinks like, oh, Johnny Depp from 21 Jump Street?
Exactly. You know, like, I think people cared.
Or Johnny Depp from that movie where he wears a wig and crazy costume.
Or what about Nightmare on Elm Street where he got killed in a bed? You know what I mean?
With buckets and buckets of blood. Speaking of buckets of blood, you guys might see some cool pictures uploaded to the page soon.
Absolutely. I'm kind of a big fan of the method that was created for what you did. And honestly, we were talking about this. I'd love to see conventions do this, like photo ops for this. I think it's genius.
Pete and I might have a trick up our sleeves involving blood and baseball bats and skulls.
Not actual blood, just an FYE for everyone out there.
Yeah.
For your entertainment.
We can use diabetic blood. They don't need it. Just kidding, diabetics.
So now...
Matt, I'm sorry, Matt, if you're listening, because I know he suffers from diabetes.
All right, producer Matt, he has the beatus. Anyway, so now, going back to the DC stuff, Stan the Man Lee actually gave his thoughts on what DC should do to make a good movie. And you know what his thoughts were for that point? Have him write it. And I'm sorry, I love Stan. Without Stan, we wouldn't really have a huge chunk of the Marvel Universe, because I'm also one of those that, you know, if you look close in the comic book community, there's a lot of people who vilify Stan and make him out to be Satan personified. I don't give a shit, really. I think it's, you know, it's a two-way process with creating a character. You know, the artist rendition.
What day is he going to be at New York again?
He's going to be there Friday through Sunday.
Wow.
And we're actually trying, like, a group of us are trying to get a picture with him. So if you want to join in.
Maybe I'll get him to sign that. Is he doing signing?
He's doing, yeah, of course.
I might get him to sign that Silver Surfer book I got.
He's charging $100.
Yeesh.
Yep.
Are you doing it, including the picture?
No, that's $100 a piece.
So if you want something signed and a picture.
$200.
Damn. Gamble, huh? You can buy his autograph for like $20.
I'm going for a photo, but I'm going to be doing it like as a group. So if you want to join in, by the way, Mike, let me know.
Okay.
So we pitch in. I think we're going to try and get 5 people, so $20 a piece.
Do they do that?
Oh, of course. I nodded for a podcast, but yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, honestly, I'm anyway, Stan going on saying, you know, he should write a DC film. I understand why people would think that's a good idea, but in all honesty, it's a kind of a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, he was partially responsible for, you know, the Marvel Universe, but his writing has not aged well.
No.
And if you look at a lot of the stuff, you know, that he's come out with over the years, he has a ghostwriter, too.
The kids still play Jax.
Yabo. I think that's the only thing I can really say. Is he did a X-Men comic, and I'm listening to the show, Jay and Miles explain the X-Men, and they mention that he doesn't have, like, a, you know, basis of the youth of America, even in the 60s.
So he probably thinks the kids all sit around and play Jax and listen to Dick Tracy stories on the radio.
And they play jigsaw puzzles with hula hoops, you know, the usual, you know.
That game, that thing where they run around, they stick in the hoop and roll it on the ground?
Literally, yeah. I mean,
what's the recent Boris Carlyle movie?
The funniest thing, though, is he made another suggestion. And I think it would be absolutely genius. He wants to cameo in a DC film.
Or TV show.
He mainly said film, though, didn't he?
Mm.
So, if it were me, I would have the man who's directed the most cameos of him do it, Kevin Smith, because he's going to be in Mallrats. Or he was in Mallrats. He's in Mallrats 2 soon.
Mallrats, I think it's called.
Yeah, Mallrats, whatever. And the third one, he actually directed a commercial with Stan in it.
Really?
So, he's directed the man 3 times now.
Wow.
So, throw him into an episode of The Flash, Kevin does.
And just have him sit at a desk in the 70s or 60s or something.
It would be funny. You know, just throw that in there. And,
Where am I?
Also, he was in Yoga Hosers.
Yep.
So 4 times Kevin has directed Stan the Man Lee. So go, you know, go with something like that. And somebody actually on Reddit suggested this cameo, and I think it's genius. Have him show up and with like a roadmap.
Mm.
I must have taken the wrong turn. You know what I mean? Like, make a joke that he shouldn't be there, but he somehow ended up in Gotham or Metropolis.
Yeah.
And since it's Stan, throw him in Metropolis. Bright, sunny area, throw him there. But how would you do a Stan the Man cameo?
I would just have him sit at like a desk in a city or something, the Superman goes flying by.
Yeah, that could work. I mean,
and you seem like doodling a superhero or something.
I've always found the idea. Well, then you get a bunch of people saying, oh, Stan never drew eyes.
Actually, he did draw a Spider-Man one time and sold it at an auction.
And it was pretty terrible, but it was amazing.
It was just Spider-Man's head.
He tried so hard.
He or Ray Charles drew it. I can't remember.
He tried so hard and got so far, but in the end, it didn't even matter.
Nope.
So
he wanted to be the very best.
Like no one. So we're going from Linkin Park to Pokemon? Okay.
Early 2000s.
I can see that. Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. That's a hell of a
Who wants to be a superhero?
Oh, that show was god-awful.
Yeah.
Let's have Balls Mahoney just show up for no reason and smack Big Mama in the head with a chair. What?
Well, that was the stupid sci-fi era where they thought everything was cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind, you know. I want to see Stan do more stuff, though, while he can, you know, because he's already got, like, you know, a ton of cameos already recorded. So, like, you know.
I wonder if they just put him in, just have cameos recorded of him and just like, all right, we're like doing.
Have him be the Tupac of cameos? Just have like 800 already made cameos?
We're doing, you know, Infinity Gauntlet in like 2-3 years. Just film a scene.
Well, a comment somebody made, and it was pretty fucking genius, was if something ever happens to him, photos in the background of him. Because they did that in Daredevil.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Do something like that. And if, you know. I'm because he's going to, you know, live the rest of his life in California, you know, I believe starting next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's crazy because if you want to see him, the only con you're ever going to be able to see him at is Kamikaze, the one he does in California. I think in Anaheim, I want to say.
So this is his last New York Comic-Con appearance ever.
Last, he's making like a big deal out of every single one. Like I know he did one in Rhode Island, I believe, recently. Mm-hmm. First, it was literally, I believe, billed as his first and last. So if you ever wanted to meet him in Rhode Island, that was your only opportunity. Or will be. I don't know if the con's still going on. Maybe it's going on right now. We don't know. But, yeah, I mean, and speaking of Stan, by the way, Fox got the rights to Stan Lee's life story.
I've seen that.
And we've already seen all the repeated, you know, witty original comments of Marvel should get the rights back. So
it's going to be like a TV series kind of thing.
It's going to be an action-adventure movie set in the 70s, supposedly.
They're going to shoot it like they did Big Fish?
I don't know.
That'd be cool if they did it kind of like Big Fish.
Who would you cast as him?
Bryan Cranston.
Same here, but somebody else...
Because someone made that joke poster of him as Stan one time, remember?
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti was Jack Kirby?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I was doing it, I agree with what, you know, one Redditor...
Hugh Laurie.
One Redditor, yeah, maybe. Because I can't see him with the big mustache. That's just me. And the glasses. But the one that I, you know, people have suggested, you know, J.K. Simmons, that would be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So... maybe, question mark, I don't know. But what would you do if, would you make it a straight up serious film, or would you have it be...
I would do like how they did Big Fish.
Yeah?
Like Stan Lee's just like telling stories, and like each character kind of like incorporates, like he's telling us, you know, how the legacy of Spider-Man, and Spider-Man swoops down and swings him up out of the way of a car or something.
Yeah.
And people play him for stealing from Jack Kirby.
I'd kind of, like, you've read his life story, right? Fantastic, amazing, fantastic, incredible, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually got my own copy of the book recently, and it made me really sad because I got it for $4 brand new, but...
Ah.
Yeah. Boy, here's respect to your life story, Stan. We're going to sell it for $4 in the discount bin.
Hardcover.
Yep.
Was that the trade paperback?
No, it was hardcover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you ever have the ability to get your hands on the Stan Lee graphic novel life story thing, highly recommend checking it out in hardcover because of the... You pointed out to me, you lift up the sleeve.
The dust jacket?
Yeah, the dust jacket, and it's this cool, you know, all the different character heads. So, yeah. That's that story.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think... I'm wondering how they're going to get away with, you know, utilizing all the characters that he helped create in that film. Because think about it.
It's going to be a sticky situation. People are going to complain.
Like Spider-Man's webbing?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do I want to see it? Yeah, hell yes. Because why the fuck not? It's, you know...
I want to see Steve Ditko movie.
Oh boy, just a guy sitting in his apartment over and over and over. What a riveting film.
I could do like Murder, She Wrote.
No.
Kirby, She Wrote. Or
Ditko, she wrote. Yeah, just a Ditko movie would just be him sitting in his apartment by himself.
Complaining about things.
Oh, God. But, I don't know. I mean, I think Stan is perfect for something like this. Same with Kirby. A Kirby film would be really, really
fun. I think they should do it like they did Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Get a young guy to play Starenko. All these young guys.
And
or not old guys, but old guys as young people.
Yeah. I mean, would I like to see something like that? Hell yes. Do you think it'll ever happen, though?
No. It would be cool to see, like, the underbelly, the dirty part of comic industry in the 60s and 70s.
If you ever want to read the dirty underbelly of the comic book industry of Marvel, I highly recommend Untold. I believe it's The Untold Story of Marvel Comics.
Who wrote it?
I forgot his name, but you can find that book on Audible at audibletrial.com/...
Audibly exquisite.
And you can be able to, you know, shoot some thousands of audiobooks, and that book is one of them. I'm actually reading right now the Wonder Woman story by Jill Lepore. And Mike, yourself?
I'm still working on Dexter in the Dark.
And I believe this week you're going to be going through that Marvel one, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Go to www.audibletrial.com/...
Audibly exquisite.
And get a free audiobook of your choosing from thousands upon thousands to choose from. So now, once again, go back to the Stan the Man thing. I would love to see it happen, but, you know, it is a very sticky situation.
People are going to be pissed about it regardless.
Do you, like, a person like that who's essentially responsible for modern mythology when you think about it. Like, really think about it. It's, you know, it is modern mythology.
Yeah.
You know, we've had this conversation with Cliff Galbraith, the man in charge of East Coast Comic Con.
Black for Jack.
Yeah. You know, all these guys are responsible for today's modern mythology. So now going away from Marvel stuff and heading back over to DC Valley, I guess. That kind of sucked. But anyway, you know, there more stuff is getting leaked out more and more about Justice League. Now, Mike, what recently happened this week?
They said Jared Leto will not be in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. That's basically, they didn't say why, they didn't say anything, they just said Jared Leto's not going to be in it.
Yeah, and honestly, if this film is going to be focusing on Darkseid and the parademons and all that, you know, shit, do you think a Joker appearance would even make sense?
Not really.
Like, I feel like they're going to try and establish him more as more of a street villain, which is a smart thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's not really that kind of cosmic villain. Although, again, it would be cool to see how he would react to a cosmic, you know, other cosmic.
Darkseid, if he crossed past the Darkseid?
Yeah. But obviously it's not going to happen, so.
Probably try to put a smile on his face.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that, you know? Why not? But my problem with a lot of this is they're really shoehorning everything, but maybe, you know, do you think the shoehornery will slow down in the next few films that, you know, fans are kind of sick of that?
Yeah.
I hope so too. Like, I don't want to see a rushed film. I want to see something really good because everything they've got with DC is fucking stellar.
I agree.
But I don't know. Mike, comment?
No, I can't wait to talk about our next subject though.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, the Shocker costume from Spider-Man Homecoming.
What did you think of it?
I friggin' love it. It looks just like the cartoon or the comics, everything. It's amazing looking.
A lot of people...
got like the red mohawk thing, the checkered yellow.
A lot of people are bitching about it.
Why?
Because it looks cheap, blah, blah, blah. I've seen cosplays that look better. But this is the thing. He's not really that... First off, he's not even going to be the focal point of the film. He's just going to be a 1-2-3 villain.
Yeah, how we know he just didn't make that costume? Like, the every superhero origin
costume
ever. Just
like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just like Spider-Man.
Those aren't goggles.
So, yeah, and then Tony pulls out the goggles. And
then how do we know someone has recruited him for the Sinister Six and be like, by the way, you need a better costume?
I'm honestly fine with how they're doing, you know, stuff like that. I think I hope Spider-Man makes a quilt joke. Because he looks like a quilt man.
Yeah, he does look like he's wearing a big quilt or an oven mitt or something.
So do something like that. Make him look as shitty and cheesy as possible. Because you want to do that. You want to make these characters.
Yeah, Spider-Man could be making fun about his costume. He's like, well, like, you got room to talk.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you can easily do something like that 1-2-3 and it's done.
Exactly.
But am I stoked for this? Yeah. Oh, hell yes.
I can't wait.
And I mean, like, Shocker is, like, if you want to get a good grasp of the character Shocker, by the way, I highly recommend checking out the Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
And he's not
series.
Electrical powers, is he?
It's like vibrations,
is that
if
what
I remember
is?
Correctly, yeah, because I know that's Electro with electricity. I feel like a really shitty Spider-Man fan right now for kind of admitting partially that I'm not that well-versed in that character.
You're like
but
an
here
old,
we are.
Old person trying to explain things.
Yeah, but anyway, so, I mean, I'm just, like, stoked to see what they're going to do with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because look at, again, who they're going to have in this fucking thing.
A lot of people.
There's a fucking ton of people. Like, I think everyone and their mother is in this film. My
and
mother's
their grandmothers.
Well, some, you know, some, yes. I mean, it's cool. It's really cool. Would you want to see... Who is a Spider-Man villain that you would actually like to see in this film?
Mysterio.
Mysterio with the Booyaka Booyaka and the headbutting children?
Yep.
619?
Exactly.
Hey, what you gonna do when they come for you?
Booyaka Booyaka!
But I mean, I want to see Scorpion.
Yeah.
Scorpion could be cool, and maybe even use, you know, the his story.
Kraven.
Kraven is gonna be a hard one to do if they want to adapt the Kraven's Last Hunt story. Because that's, you know, about his already established Spider-Man.
What about Sandman again? Would you want to see him?
Honestly, yeah.
Morbius?
Morbius the Living Vampire? Yeah, I'd be down.
Chameleon? Hammerhead?
Karma Chameleon?
Yeah. Sandman maybe again.
Hammerhead, no. I wouldn't want to see a Hammerhead film because
not a Hammerhead film, but like,
or I know, but as a villain.
Yeah, like they could do a scene where they visit a jail and you see all these guys in the cells.
Maybe, but he seems like such a Dick Tracy villain.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I wouldn't mind seeing Craven though, and I always wanted Joe Manganiello to play him, but that's not going to happen now.
There's plenty of people that they could do.
Oh, well, who the hell played at 300 there? Gerard Butler.
Yeah. Oh, he would be really good. I can see that.
He hasn't done anything in a while.
Unfortunately, yeah. But, I mean, you know, him, throw him a bone. Like, let's see if he can do this. Because, in all honesty, there's a lot of cool actors out there who can chew the scenery of a character like, you know, Craven or Crazens. You know, the delicious shriveled up cranberries. I'm a big fan of them myself.
I hate them.
How dare you?
Oh, they got another shot of the Shocker costume. It does, yeah. It does look like something he made in his garage. See?
Yeah, but again, Mike, I mean, come on. You know, cosplayers can make such better costumes.
Well,
that's the point of a character like this. He doesn't have much money, so he's stealing things.
To make a better costume.
Yes. And
I like how they dress now, that they're not fucking seamstresses and can't make their own professional costumes. Tony Stark made Spider-Man's costume.
Tony Stark made that costume out of a box of rocks.
And this costume looks like he has a ski mask and some goggles.
I botched that line so badly just now.
Yeah,
made
you did.
He made it in a cave with a box of scrap.
And a weird headpiece. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, make these movies whichever way you want to do, but just make them good. And if you can take these kind of characters, hey.
Who's that guy? That's Brimstone, right?
I believe so, yeah.
He would be cool to see in the movie. I mean, just looking at Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, but I mean, as someone like, I would love to see, you know, if you could establish a Spider-Man film franchise, Superior Spider-Man would be fucking incredible.
Yeah. The more pictures that you look at this guy, you can tell the costume was definitely made like in a workshop or something, like a garage. It's not like a professional, obviously.
I mean, again, would I love to see, you know, Shocker the way he's being portrayed in this? Hell yeah. It would be cool. It would be really, really friggin' cool. And when you think about it, look at how much cool shit we're getting with a lot of these villains, too, you know? I want to see a Spider-Man film where he, you know, he has to face the Sinister Six, and how he reacts that.
Was Mr. Sinister ever in a Sinister Six?
No, he is an X-Men guy. As someone going through X-Men, believe me, I know my X-Men.
Cool would it be if Sinister Six, Mr. Sinister was in the Sinister Six, and they could call it Sinister's Six?
You were struggling so much to say all of that. I feel so terrible for you right now. But yeah, I mean, why the fuck not?
Right.
But anyway, going away from the Spidey stuff, with Mr. Sinister, speaking of, being, he might be in Wolverine 3.
And what's his gimmick now? What's he do?
Mr. Sinister? I haven't gotten up to those X-Men books
yet. So you don't know what Mr. Sinister does?
He's pretty much just a Sinister guy.
Does he have powers?
Probably, yeah.
Sinister powers?
Probably,
just
the
Sinister stuff.
He
changes decaf or caffeinated coffee to regular coffee, turns sugar into salt.
I mean, I've played against him in the Deadpool game.
I didn't
beat that level, but
he just does annoying things.
And he clones himself repeatedly. That level was a fucking bitch. I still haven't beaten that one.
That is a pain. I beat it.
Lucky you. It's fucking hard.
It's a fun game.
It's.
I hope we get another Deadpool game. Back to go off topic.
I'd love to see another Deadpool game.
I want to get another Wolverine game.
It depends on what it is. Like, you know, they've made Wolverine games that suck, and they made you know what Wolverine game was vastly underrated that not many people will say is good, but I thought was decent?
X-Men Origins?
Wolverine for the NES.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got its problems. Like, hey, I'm Wolverine, and if I use my claws, I lose health. What the fuck does that even... You know what I mean? I was playing the game, like, fairly recently, and I'm like, because I've been going through a lot of, you know, the Acclaim games to see if there's some, you know, hidden treasures in all the mountain of shit. You know what I mean?
There's not.
There's some.
Sometimes you find a T-Rex tooth.
Sometimes you do. But, I mean, I liked, you know, that game. I thought it was fun. Like, it worked for what it was trying to accomplish. It really did. But the thing is, you know, with the Wolverine game, it could have been better, but it's...
We'll get one. If this Spider-Man game...
There have been good Wolverine games.
Yeah, but we'll get another good one. If this Spider-Man game does well, they're going to start doing more games, I think.
Well, you know why this game was made specifically for Sony, right? For the PlayStation?
Why?
Who owns the cinematic rights?
Gotta keep tapping that vein.
Well, I mean, it's smart. It's really smart of them to do that. Would you know, if you were DC, or not DC, if you were Marvel and you had a game division, what would you want your first game, though,
your
to be?
Your biggest seller. Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Spider-Man still sells.
Spider-Man games sell like hotcakes.
Spider-Man is like a character that's still the most popular and was the one people were clamoring for. Yes, a lot of us were sick of, hey, let's watch Uncle Ben get shot yet again.
Yeah.
But it was still fun.
They need to acknowledge it in the movie.
That, which is smart. You don't want
to... You don't have to.
You don't need to hammer it over a person's head, like, over and over. Hey, he's dead.
Probably an opening scene of Homecoming, they might show a glimpse of it or mention it.
Mention him in passing.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, this is worse than Uncle Ben's funeral or something. I don't fucking know.
They could do like they do in Freaks and Geeks, just having Aunt May always bring up the death of Uncle Ben.
Oh, shit.
You know who went out to prom, Peter? Uncle Ben. And now he's dead.
I fucking loved that show, man. That was a fucking genius show.
You know who watched Constantine on Blu-ray, Peter?
Mike Noren. And he's still alive.
Uncle Ben.
Good.
Mike Noren. I haven't watched it yet because it's not out yet.
Well...
It's coming out in a couple days.
It's going to be available only through the Warner Archive, which is kind of cool.
So I had to order it offline?
Basically, you have to order it online. And the thing about Warner Direct is this. You pay a little bit extra, but they make it on demand. So if let's say there's five movies. Movie number two, somebody orders. But movies 1, 3, 4, and 5 are not being currently printed. But number two will get printed up because someone requested number two.
Okay.
So it's like it's an on-demand service. I've actually used it once for myself to get, you know, a Johnny Depp film for a family member. And it was like some random film that was never released on DVD, like, regularly.
Wow.
But it was on there. So it's little things like that, which are... For a show like Constantine, it's a perfect decision for them. Like, you want to have all these shows. And they realize, yes, it's got a rabid fan base, but does it, you know...
Does it sell?
Does it go over to the mainstream? So... I want to see them try and do this with other things too, because there's a ton of DC stuff.
Well, they did start right when Arrow was kind of established, and right before Flash. It was a hard time for a show like that.
So now on to the next to almost final subject, Jurassic World. Mike, I know you're a big fan of these films.
I am an avid fan.
You might even say you're a Mike Noren dinosaur enthusiast.
I am, and also a big fan of Jurassic Park podcast. Check it out.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know there
was Jurassic Park podcast, the unofficial podcast of Jurassic Park.
Well, I would assume it's unofficial.
Weekly basis of Jurassic Park.
I'd give it a listen.
They even do call-ins, ironically. It's funny. They got just cool.
Oh, no.
No, it's, well, you call, it's like a voicemail system. Call, leave a voicemail, and they answer your questions.
How many voicemails have you left now, Mike?
27.
I believe it.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's cool. But anyway, yes, they're doing a Jurassic World trilogy, apparently.
Okay.
So, you know, it's Jurassic World 1, 2, whatever.
I'm down. Honestly, like, I like the idea of just seeing this series continue. I mean, yeah, you know, could it eventually run out of ideas after a while? Yes, but you know what was smart what they did? They waited in between.
Yeah.
There was, it went from 2001, I want to say, right?
Yep.
The last Jurassic Park was in a pre-9/11 world. Think about that.
Yeah. And the cool part is, though, about them, if you can believe it, you know, the park in Jurassic World, the park gets destroyed because dinosaurs got out.
Right.
Which I always have a theory that it's not the fault of the dinosaurs. They're just animals. It's the piss poor engineers they're hiring. Like, that one dinosaur just blew right through a wall of cement.
Yeah.
I want to make a Jurassic Park movie about a courtroom scene of the engineers being sued for the poor structures they built. Dun dun.
You can't handle the truth.
Now, we have Mr. Velociraptor on the stand. Now, Velociraptor, Blue, tell me what you... What?
Did you
now, what happened?
Blue?
Yeah. So now they bring Blue on the stand and, you know, just have a Velociraptor interpreter up there. Fun fact, a dog and a Velociraptor can uphold a witness in court.
Oh, really?
Yes. Actually, that's false, but a dog can. It's a lie.
So that doesn't actually happen?
No, it doesn't. I lied.
But no, you can't lie in a podcast.
We can lie all you want. We've been lying the whole time.
Anyway, so now, I just like the fact that, you know, we're getting a Chris Pratt, you know, movie, because you told me off mic that he's going to be coming back.
Yeah.
I believe you also said maybe on the show that you did.
I have.
So, yeah, I just like the idea, you know, that it's even going to happen at all. Like, I'm a big Pratt fan, you know, his work on Parks and Rec, Guardians of the Galaxy, upcoming with Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. You excited for that?
Yes.
Who are you most excited for that movie, by the way?
Denzel.
I'm going for Pratt just to see how he would interact with a person like Denzel.
I think it's going to be fun chemistry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, they have such stark, contrasting personalities. It'll work. It'll make, you know, for a fun film. But now, you know, going away from the Jurassic Park stuff and going over to video games, Super Mario Run is going to be coming to the Apple iOS this fall or winter or whatever.
Denim.
There we go. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Also because of the fact Shigeru Miyamoto openly said that it's going to be one set price, so it's not going to be one of those freemium games, which, yes, as much as I love Pokemon Go, that's guilty of being a freemium game, kind of, to a degree, you know?
Yeah.
But you just pay one price. Now, I mean, myself, I'm thinking it's going to be anywhere from $3 to $6.
Probably.
And I mean, like, have you seen what they're doing for this thing?
Yeah, I looked at it. It looks like a normal Mario game, but like Temple Run kind of thing.
I think it's going to be fun. Like, I mean, like, you can play against other people around the world.
Can you play as Luigi?
I would not doubt that. I mean, Luigi's a fucking still popular character. A lot of people love Luigi. They made, like, a whole year devoted to Luigi, remember? Like, the Year of Luigi. So, it'll be cool. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of things they could do for this that you want to see with a Mario game. Like, I love the idea of just playing against anybody in the world in this kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And on my phone. Why not, you know? And you look at, like, a lot of these things with the freemium content, DLC, and bullshit like that. You know, you and I were both talking about this earlier off mic. What's coming to the PlayStation 4?
Star Wars.
And Xbox.
Battlefront Death Star DLC.
Are you excited for that at all? Like, you got excited watching the video, but then you realized, oh, shit, I have to pay for this.
Yeah, $50 if you want it.
Like, what do you think about, like, the DLC?
It's bull crap.
You're essentially paying $60 for a video game that's incomplete.
And if you want more, you got to essentially pay $100 for a video game.
So you have to pay, like, $10 less than the price of a brand new game itself.
Yeah.
To, you know, even be able to enjoy this quote-unquote game. And again, it's like, you know, it's a cool time to be a fan of a lot of this stuff, but it's also just a pain in the ass when, you know, you realize these companies are nickel and diming.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get, like, who do you get to play as in this new DLC, though?
Bosk, Chewbacca, and R2-D2.
How, like, did you ever expect to play as R2-D2 in a game like this?
Never.
And it's fun little things like that, but, again, what do you have to do? Have to pay for it.
You gotta pay to play.
And, like, you know, we were talking about it, and it's just dumb.
I agree.
Just, honestly, laziness from a lot of these developers. Like, if you want a game, you have to, like, you know, shell out even more, and I think it's not just also dumb, and it's not not just lazy, it's a greedy way of these companies. Like, they know there will be the people that buy it. They absolutely know. And it does bum me out. And I'm just repeating myself over and over, but it's the truth. You know, that's why I do like Nintendo for a lot of their policies where they don't want to nickel and dime you. They want to make something that you'll enjoy. And, you know, you keep playing.
I agree.
And, you know, like, other than Star Wars Battlefront, what is, like, the worst example of something that you've dealt with this?
What's that?
What is, like, the worst example of something you've dealt with this?
Probably Star Wars.
Other than Star Wars.
I can't really think of any other.
Grand Theft Auto. Is
oh, GTA, yeah.
I mean, again, it's cool that, you know, we get the added-on stuff. I think for myself, the biggest one would have to be the wrestling games, the WWE ones, where, like, you get, like, okay, we're going to make a DLC package and only give you half of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to pay for the rest. But I already, how much is it going to be? Oh, $30 to $40. Oh, cool, so I have to spend $90 for this game. And then factor in also the people who really fucking love those games, the ones that buy the collector's editions that are $90 that don't come with the DLC. So, oh, you spent $90, and you have to spend another fucking $90 and spend $120 for this game. So you spent the equivalent of two video games, even though it's just one game, and it came with a little bust of the Undertaker's head. How fucking stupid is that? But yeah, anyway. So now, once again, before we go, how can people find us, Mike?
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
You can find us on facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. Find us on Twitter @TheAEPodcast, @PeterMelnick.
And @Mike_Norn.
You can find us on the worldwide interwebs, like you said, blah, blah, blah. You can find us on Instagram at
audibly exquisite.
And let's see, what else is there, Mike? You can find us on a wide variety of listening formats for all iOS and Android devices. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and other podcast apps if you search for our name. Also, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. 5-star if you're ever so inclined. Spread the word like Nutella. And also, finally, help support the show, and you get rewards for this. Monthly rewards. So go to www.patreon.com/audiblyexquisite. And for as low as $2 or as much as $50 a month, you are helping support the show and helping us be able to give you this fine program and also exclusive content just for little old you. So once again, go to www.patreon.com/audiblyexquisite and help support the show. So for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
And for Mike Norrin, I'm Crisp Rat.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.